Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
Welcome to the Mixtape Lounge. Please welcome your host, Greg Howard Jr.
They have just come off a cross-country tour playing house shows and small venues. Please welcome Max and Michael of Lonely Parrots. Hello.
Hi. Hey. How you
doing? Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm doing fantastic.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Excellent. So tell the listeners what they could expect from a Lonely Parrots gig.
At this stage we've been doing, you know, as you said, house shows and smaller venues, and I'd say a majority of our shows we kind of act as our own openers. So we each play a solo set of Michael Martinez music, Max Ember's music, like four or five songs, and then we take a little break and we come back and we do our duo set and we sing together, and you hear how our individual voices come together to create a new third voice.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, given that we play a lot of house shows and like small farm shows, it's super intimate. Like, these are, we've played for crowds of like 20 people. Sometimes house shows are bigger, and we've played one that was like 152, but usually it's a smaller group. And I think a lot of the time, because we play in backyards too, it's like a kind of nature-y outside vibe, which both of us love very much.
Yeah. So, and we have a lot of, we try to cultivate a very intentional listening audience. So like people who are really there to sit and listen to the lyrics and to feel the music on a deeper level. It's not, you know, you're not at your best with your best friend at like the local bar catching the band that's passing through town. You know, it's, I think for us, we want to tell our stories, and it's been really beautiful to be able to do that consistently, because we have people willing to host strangers essentially in their house to share their heart and souls. And I think that's a testament to just like the kindness of people, that there's so many people who are willing to do that and to invite their friends and family and neighbors to just come witness something that, you know, is new. And then I would like to say that I think it's been pretty well received.
Yeah.
So that's also really exciting. So a Lonely Parrots show right now is going to be some of your closest friends come with you to a backyard for your neighbor, and you are mesmerized, hopefully, by the songwriting and the harmonies that you're hearing.
So talk us through how Lonely Parrots came to be.
Yeah.
So Michael and I are based in San Francisco. For those listeners who haven't been to San Francisco or may not know, but there is a flock of wild parrots that lives in San Francisco. And Michael and I have been friends for a long time. And I was nomadic for a year and a half, a couple of years ago. I was just like traveling around the country, playing small shows. And Michael offered that I could stay with him in San Francisco whenever I wanted. So I made a good amount of stops here. And one morning when I was like home alone and Michael was out of the house, I see this like little beautiful big flock of parrots sitting on the power line outside of the house. And given that I'm from Germany, that's like a very like exotic sight for me. And so I like was taking a video of it and seeing how all of these parrots were literally coupled up in pairs of two, grooming each other, cuddling, like cleaning each other's plumage. And then there's this one lonely parrot, by him or herself. And so when Michael came home and I showed him the video, we wrote a joke song about it. It was not meant to be serious at all. We just like, I don't know, wrote something small, like a minute and a half. But it was the beginning of like a stretch of, I don't know, five songs or so that fell out of us in a period of a couple weeks,
Yeah, and
really.
I mean that was during the day I was at therapy. I got home, we wrote this song, and then later that same day we went out to catch the sunset, and we actually wrote our first like full length song. And yeah, it was just like, I don't know, it was crazy that it all happened that day. And then yeah, shortly after we have like an EP's worth of songs, and we're not gonna try to split it up between the two of us. We were like, this has to be a duo now. And then shortly after that, we went on a writing and production retreat to kind of see what else we could come up with. And thinking about the name of what we would call ourselves, it just kind of made sense to call ourselves the Lonely Parrots, like two lonely parrots who found each other. They're also these animals that are very talkative and very colorful, and it just all felt like it represented us, and it just made so much sense. So yeah, that's how the Lonely Parrots came to be.
Of the songs that you've written, do you have a favorite?
It's hard.
I mean,
It fluctuates.
I actually love all of them, and they've grown on me in different ways. I think because when we are producing, we are kind of rediscovering the songs, because we are producing them a little more pop than when we play the songs. It's very stripped when we do these shows, these live shows. I'm on keys, Max is on guitar, and we both sing, and we're always singing together. So that's one of the things I think that makes our project unique. But I think I don't know. I
I mean, I
don't
think so.
know.
I would very much agree that there's a lot of songs that are among my favorites. I will say that the first full length song that we wrote together, which was the same day as that like parrots interlude, if you will, I think it will always hold, like just have such a special place in my heart because it was the first full song that we wrote together. It's called Coldplay, and we wrote it on a beautiful beach in the Bay Area, which is called Brayville Cove. And I mean, like, I think there's so many ways one could interpret the lyrics of the song, but for us, it's turned into, I would say, like a sort of manifesto of how we want to live life. And I don't know, any day of my life, I like could use the message of that song. So I think that'll be my answer for now.
I think same, just because I also think that that was our introduction, and it was a really needed reminder of like that songwriting, and any song can really take any direction that you want it to go. And I think that like in the first half of the song, you hear these different sections and you feel like, oh, this is a verse. And as a songwriter, I like know how I was structuring it up until that point of like, okay, we're at the halfway point. And then we almost like wrote a bridge to the song, but then Max was like, well, what if we sing these lyrics again, but we changed the harmony underneath it? We put like a different chord underneath it. So it was like, oh, wait, we can do whatever we want. And that's also kind of the message of the song, is like, live your life and live it how you want. Like, tell yourself the story you want. And I do think that that song feels really good to sing every time.
Every time.
So yeah, maybe Coldplay is our favorite.
Since you wrote that first song together, how has your creative process changed, if at all?
I mean, especially in the big, well, still, but like one of the things that I think is part of our songwriting process is that we just love to go out into nature and write in nature. So like, usually I'll take my guitar and we'll go to a forest or the beach or wherever and just like see how that environment inspires us. It was really fun, I think, then eventually once we'd gotten a couple songs out of our belts to like see kind of what we would come up with if we wrote while producing a song too. And so like instead of being out just with a guitar, like creating a track to it as you write it, which happened with one of our songs called You and Me. And I think that's something that I want to lean into more also in the future. I think for like the next, we haven't even released music yet, but like our first song is coming out like within the next week. And so I think there's like a more than an album's worth of music right now that we have already, but I'm excited for the next stretch of songs that we can kind of like be just like see how like the production process can inspire the writing.
Yeah. I mean, and also that we toured for the first time last fall, and we just got back from a tour a couple weeks ago. And it is fun to have me in the driver's seat and Max with the guitar in the passenger seat and just like see if anything comes out, you know. That's another,
which it has. We've written a good amount of songs in our van on tour.
Yeah. And it's just nice to, I don't know, I don't play guitar, so I feel kind of spoiled in that I get to benefit from a portable instrument, but I really love that we can just like take it wherever we want to go. Yeah. And have the ability to create.
Which Disney princess would you say you most relate to?
Oh,
this is like very much a Michael.
Well, she's not a princess. She's a queen. Elsa. I feel like
I'll allow it.
Well, I'm shocked because I thought you were going to say Moana.
Yeah, I could be Moana too. I could be both.
I'll pick you. You be Elsa. I'll be Moana.
Okay.
Excellent. So if y'all could go back to that very first day with the parrots and all of that, and start your careers over, would you do anything different?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, as lonely parrots, no. I think that like the way that, I mean, also we are very much learning how to like do life together. You know, I think that we're learning how we both are very opinionated people. And so like, how do we share our opinions and stand by them and then also make room for the other person? But I think that's why when we do complete a song, we're both really satisfied, because it's like it still represents both of us and both of our hearts. And I think that has been true since the beginning of this project. I think personally, I would definitely do different things, especially in my like my schooling. We both met at Berklee College of Music, and my major wasn't something that like is really all that useful now. I did like a pick your own major, and one of the focuses was music business. This was pre-TikTok, and now of course like the whole music industry is basically revolving around social media. So I would have definitely picked something different, and maybe that would have influenced my career and made it. I don't know if it would have made a difference. That's my biggest regret, I guess you could say, is not learning more about like music production and whatnot.
I feel like, I don't know, I try, not that it's always easy, but I try to live by the rule of thumb that like there's no point in trying to change anything in the past anyway. And like, I'm really, really grateful for where I'm at in my life now, and especially like having this project and having found a collaborative partner that I really, really feel so much synergy with. And also like, I don't know, like we're not young in the eye of the industry. And I think sometimes it's easy to like think, oh man, I wish like something would have blown up earlier. I would have done this or that different. So like maybe my career would be in a different place. But at the same time, I know that I wouldn't have written the songs that I have written had my path not been the way that it's been. I know that we probably wouldn't have ended up making a project together and coming together as collaborators had everything not unfolded the way it did. And so like, I don't know. I'm just like super grateful, despite the hardships of it all, that I get to be here now and like literally make art for a living and do something that I love so deeply, regardless of if it's in a stadium or in a beautiful backyard of somebody at a house show, you know?
What's the weirdest thing you've ever bought from Amazon?
I wish I had a better answer. I guess I bought like these, it's not weird, but it's, I bought these like bottles to make face spray. I was, when I, before we started our duo, I was playing a lot as Michael Martinez and I wanted to sell merch that was authentic to me. I don't believe you should ever sell something that you don't use yourself or like or enjoy. And I had played a yoga retreat like in the beginning of 2022. And we like ended up all hanging out afterwards and making lunch in these like lavender face mists. So I guess the weirdest thing that I've ordered off of Amazon is like a bulk order of spray bottles to make face spray to then sell as merch.
I'm like, trying to, like I'm literally Amazon. Looking at my Amazon orders right now. And I'm like, what have I ordered? That's kind of like weird. I'm just seeing like a bunch of weird pistachio ingredients because my sister was visiting and really wanted to make macarons. So like I have pistachio paste and pistachio flour in here because you can literally not find that in other places. So, but I don't know if that's weird either. That'll be my final answer. Pistachio.
How do you go about balancing artistic expression with commercial appeal when you're writing songs?
I think that I have, you know, before the two of us came together to write music, I definitely went through many stages of writing during which I was like, I think too influenced by what I thought other people wanted to hear from me. And I mean, you know, going to a music school like Berklee College of Music, where you're surrounded by so many absolutely incredible musicians, and then moving to LA, where on another end of the spectrum, you're like surrounded by the music industry that wants you to write a top 40 hit every time you go into the studio. I don't know. I felt pressures from all sides, and I like really was trying to cater to it, which at the end of the day, entirely like took the joy out of writing for me. And so I think at least in this project, we both love pop like that, and that will always be a part of how we write. But it's been really, really amazing to just like work with somebody who does love commercial music to an extent, just the way I do, and also is as down as I am to like lean into the weird things and the more out there concepts lyrically. And like, we both love harmony and melody. And like, I think we're at, with this project, we haven't been shy to like go for the key changes and do like a weird chord here and there or whatever. So like, for me, not in order to be weird, but just like when something feels right, regardless of if it feels commercial or not, like I love that I'm, and we are in a place where we allow ourselves to just go for it.
I mean, I think that just to add on to that, I think when a melody sticks, we both kind of know, like it's been like, oh yeah, that's the one. And I don't know that it's in service of being commercial. I think we're just like, we both, yeah, love pop music and we're kind of raised on that. Like Celine Dion, you know,
that's me.
But like, I don't know. Like, I just think, I just also love that we both want to like sing our hearts out. So like,
yeah.
we want to like build the song to a point where we can both really like, I don't want to say show off because that's not the point. That's not why we're doing it. But we want to like be able to sit and to like really like let ourselves do what we feel we can do best. And yeah, it's been fun.
What do you think is the coolest thing about being a musician?
Whoa. I mean, after doing this tour, I think knowing that like I can actually make a living doing art, like doing my art, like we've both been professionally gigging for like 8 years, and like that is also really cool, just to know that like you can live off of singing, you know, and playing piano. I think also knowing that like there are people all over who are open to new music and new people, that's really cool. And then just like the community of artists, like I think LA was a little bit of a struggle for both of us in the way of like finding a real community, at least of like musicians. And I know it's there, but I guess I just struggled with finding my place in it. But since moving back to San Francisco, I've found so much acceptance and love. And I think that's definitely one of the cooler parts about being a musician.
I would also add to that, that like we have, I think, built like a pretty DIY career for ourselves, right? Like, so the way that we're touring right now is super grassroots. We do house shows, which means that like we can't just go on stage and then go backstage and call it a night. Like the quote unquote anonymity, I know it's not like, I don't know, like somebody super famous isn't anonymous either, because they can't go down the street without being recognized. And so in that sense, there's more anonymity. But I think like when we perform, we meet our hosts before and we meet a lot of the audience before. And then afterwards, we kind of hang out with people. And we get to meet really, really cool, wonderful people at pretty much every show, which I think is like a highlight for me. And then on this tour, like on this last tour specifically, there's been so many like really interesting, unique spaces that we got to play, you know, like be it like we've played really cool farms, like regenerative or sustainable farms. We've played on this past tour, like a salt cave where we got a private tour of like this really beautiful salt cave in which we could meditate on our own afterwards. Like just awesome humans all over the place and very cool, unique spaces that we get to explore and share our music in.
So the entertainment industry is notoriously image driven. Is there a secret to staying authentic through that?
I think we've been trying to struggle finding what the image is that we can sell. I think it's like we've been pretty adamant about wanting to be authentic. Like that's been the number one rule with, I think, in our songwriting and in the way that we're trying to appear. I don't know.
I mean, I think that, yeah, sex sells, and that's not something that is like in our music, and it's not really what we're doing. And I think that, that being said, we're like, we like, I don't know, Max is wearing a sweatshirt that we designed, and like it was pretty clear once we decided our name was Lonely Parrots that we were like, oh well, at least like we know like what basically our like logo is going to be. So in regards to just like visual and like aesthetics, in regards to merchandise and stuff like that, that's been pretty clear for me, and I think for Max as well. I think that we're in the baby stages of an online presence, and I'm not really that concerned with it personally, because I don't believe that social media is sustainable for artists, especially DIY artists. So I'm not really concerned. I feel empowered to just kind of, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah,
to fuck around and find out, and to like just let it be exactly where we're at. And I also love like a nice filter on something, that's great, but like I kind of want to get to a point where we can be unfiltered with what we say and like the kind of stuff that we're posting in order to really meet the standards of the algorithm that we like have to be posting all the time. I think that the way that we're building our community and our fan base is so grassroots and so like one-on-one and creating like interpersonal relationships with fans that it's, I don't know that they're really in it for our image. So I think that like, if something were to, you know, reach people on social media, because we are, you know, abiding by the algorithm and posting like 4-5 times a week eventually, which is, I like don't know how we'll get there, but like, if that is the case, then great. People might find us and like us because of that, but that's not why we're doing it. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it definitely got me fired up. So thank you.
I mean, I think honestly, I think what we've often said to each other, what we keep coming back to is like, what's non-negotiable is the honesty. Like if we're writing lyrics, then they have to be honest to both and mean something to both of us. And I think that, and like the, we wouldn't call ourselves Lonely Parrots if there wasn't a genuine story to it and like something that really feels like the origin of our journey together as musicians. And that extends to everything that we do. I think we're just like, what is the most honest thing that we can do or say, or how, like the most honest way we can put ourselves out there?
Yeah. I mean, in just thinking about the album art for the single that we have, our first single coming out next Friday or Thursday night or something. And I really should know that, but it's just like a picture that we took under a waterfall when we were on tour last fall. And it's like, I mean, the song is basically a cover of a love song reimagined as like we're singing it to Earth. And this is like our first body of work will be just a few covers that we are putting out that are reimagined love songs to Earth. But it's not, I'm not really stretching my imagination too far, I think, because it's like, it's about the music. And it reminds me now of a quote that Adele said that was like, I make music for the ears, not the eyes. And I feel that to my core. And I think that with this project as well, it's just like, this is music that is for the soul and for, yeah, to be consumed with your ears.
What's the best Star Wars film?
Whoa, interesting question.
All of them.
I mean, they're good. I think they're all great. I think that I have really fond memories of watching like the first, like the older trilogy as a kid. And just like the little cute, like I forget which of the first three it's in, but there's these like really cute little teddy bear looking.
And it's they're the, just like, it's the third film.
Okay, so that'll be up there for me. I did like the kind of like what the newest trilogy where like we have a female protagonist or whatever. I just thought they were well made and I loved staying in the world. So I don't know. I thought, yeah, hard time. But between like the third film from the first trilogy and the first film from the last trilogy for me.
Okay.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I haven't seen it.
Really? Oh, marathon.
Yeah, let's do it.
So how do you define success?
I think that something that Max has instilled in me is like finding my joy and like being really intentional about seeking that out and recognizing it when it's in the room or in somebody near me. And I think that if I'm doing things that bring me joy, then I'm successful. I think I also have connected, you know, we do these intimate house shows and all of our shows are relatively intimate at this point, but like being able to connect with people and see how songs are making an impact on them just from hearing them once, that's a success to me. Being able to like actually move people and like to know that it's moving them because we're in these environments where they're actually, they feel like they can come and talk to us because we are all just humans trying to figure it out. That's success to me.
Yeah, 100%. I think that we have a good amount of people coming up to us after shows and saying that like our music moved something in them that like they really needed. that night. And I think that's like the most incredible gift as a musician to hear from somebody who came to see you, you know? And I think we talked about commercial appeal earlier and how that can kill the creativity and the joy in it all. And I think like it's amazing to me that I get to now be in a project where we really do this because we love it and we write music that we love, regardless of where that might take it all, you know. But like just the fact that, I don't know, we get to do what we love most. And on this, especially on this last tour, we had a moment where we really like fell to our core. Like we're like, okay, let's not book any more cover gigs for the foreseeable future. Let's let that go, because right now we are convicted that we can actually make a living with original music. And I think that is 100% like success for sure.
Have you written a song that you feel like deserves a
Yeah. I mean,
Grammy?
I'm not just saying that. I think that that's also one of the reasons why we are so convicted about this project and this Lonely Parrot's journey, is that like these songs feel and are universal. Like there are messages that I think that's why so many people will come up to us after shows and say thank you, and like that moved me, and like have tears in their eyes. And I think something, I don't, I we talk about it during shows, but like I don't know that it's necessarily us as much as it is like being in the right place in the right time, and like allowing this spirit of song to like hit us and to be ready for it and to like harness it and to write it down and have a guitar and to like make something out of it. But yeah, I don't know. Our song Soulmates, I'm just gonna say, and our song Coldplay, but like those two songs like really, really, really resonate with people. And I sure hope the algorithm sends us a fucking throws us a bone, because I believe that those songs can like heal like they have
Yeah.
done for me, for other people. And I mean, actually with our song Soulmates, we are singing it at a wedding, because we played a show in Portland last summer and they saw us again last fall when we were touring in the Pacific Northwest. And then shortly after, they asked us to sing it while they're like walking down the aisle. And we both
Oh,
played a
cool.
lot of weddings as like professional gigging musicians, but we've never sung original music at one. And so I think that speaks to like the power of this song. Like this, it's just reaching people in a way that, I don't know, music of our, no, I don't know. Our solo stuff has also affected people. I think this just maybe is like leveling up.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, we're not done producing all of the songs out. Like they're at a good place, but we definitely have to spend more time to finish it. But when I think about that project, which as it stands right now, like an album worth of like, I don't know, 10 to 12 songs. And I don't know. I'm like really convicted about it. I think that if it does find a bigger audience, then I don't think dreaming Grammys is dreaming too big. I think we can.
How do you maintain a healthy work-life balance?
Great question.
What is that? What's that?
I don't know a single artist who has that. So if you it's like when you're tuning your guitar at a show, and I make a joke that if anybody knows where to buy a self-tuning guitar, let us know. If you know how to do a work-life balance or figure that out, let us know. I have
Yeah,
no idea.
I feel really lucky in the sense that like, yes, we love writing music together, we love performing together, but we're also like, we love each other, we love spending time with each other, we both love being out in nature, and we get to write out in nature, we get to perform out in nature a lot of the time, and we get to make really incredible friends while performing. So I think at this point, where could I possibly draw the line between my personal life and my professional life? It is one and the same, which I think like to an extent is really fucking hard, because sometimes you wish you could just like sh like not think about work ever, or just like be a human. But at the same time, it's also such a blessing to be able to like say that my work is my greatest joy, you know, like so I think it's just both.
Nice. So would Lonely Parrots ever be interested in writing, let's say, a James Bond theme?
For sure.
We played a show. When was this?
This was the last show we played.
Yeah, we played a house show over the weekend, and somebody said to us on their way out that one of our songs should be in a James Bond movie. It should be the theme of a James Bond movie. Oh, and wow. I was just like, and now you ask the question. So yes. I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, it's not the same as a James Bond movie, but we both talked a lot about wanting to write a musical theater play together.
Oh.
And not to give away too much detail right now, but like we were approached by somebody literally as we were leaving New York on our last tour, and we just watched a bunch of plays together. And so this person reached out and is interested in working on one with us. So this is like the first time we're actually seeing like this as a possibility for like the foreseeable future. And it's super exciting that, I don't know, like I think thinking more long-term in the future of our career, that there's so many ways in which we can expand beyond just like putting out an album of original music, but also, you know, writing for a James Bond movie or writing a music or whatever.
Is there a song that changed your life?
I mean, I feel like it's like bodies of work, generally speaking. I think that like Sarah Bareilles has been like a huge influence for both of us, but like she put out the album The Blessed Unrest at, like over 10 years ago, which is insane. But I just remember like that was right before I moved to the East Coast, and I just like the songs in that like really, yeah, they really move me. And there's a song of hers called Chasing the Sun that's just like every lyric is just like an examination of like of life and what it means to actually be alive, and then to also be aware that it's like it's impermanent. And I think, yeah, that song has brought me to tears many times. It's not like it was like, oh my God, I heard it and then everything changed. That's never really happened, I think, for me. But that whole album and that song in particular have been, I guess, pinnacles for me.
I very much relate to what you said about like bodies of work being life-changing rather than like maybe individual songs. I think that, I don't know, maybe culturally speaking, we're going a little bit back to an album-centric listening experience. I mean, I love that, like, between Billie Eilish and Beyonce and whatever, like, there's been a lot of artists putting out a whole album and, like, not leading with a single anymore right now. I mean, these are also, granted, these are artists who can afford doing that because they have that kind of exposure. But I think that I always, my entire, like, life loved listening to whole albums, and I've always loved finding a theme in it or like an intention behind it, you know. And so I think that I've seen that in Coldplay albums, which I'm a big Coldplay fan. I've on the topic of Beyonce, I think that she's very much an album artist who loves to have like I don't know, like make it a concept album, and I think that's so freaking cool. And I'm very inspired by that as an artist. I think that we also like are in the process of like figuring out what those themes are going to be for our projects. So I don't know, that'd be good.
So both individually and as Lonely Parrots, are you the musicians that you thought you'd be when you first started out?
Me, no.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
But also, not no. I went to school, like, I went to college out of high school at the age of 17 to go study musical theater. So, like, I think initially I thought that was what I was going to be doing. And then, you know, took ballet and was like, nope. So I think that my idea of just like what music means to me and how it's kind of shifted, and it's not a straight line. It's very much like doing its own thing. And I just kind of figuring it out as I go. I think this duo has been the most surprising part of it, because I just didn't expect it. Like, it really came out of the blue. And I love that about it. I think that, and it also is kind of one of the reasons why I'm like, so it's not the reason, but it's like one of many that I'm like, this is like really exciting. And I'm always excited by it, because it's just, it was so unexpected, and it's so nice to like also just share in the experience with somebody, and somebody that I have a lot in common with, and like musically and outside of music, like, you know, from our love of nature and just like food and I don't know, and friendship. There's a lot of things that we connect on, so it's great to have a partner in crime.
I think I remember specifically like the first stretch of time in LA after I was done with music school. And I was very impressionable in the sense that, like, I don't know, there were all these, like, people in our community were like popping off left and right and finding success in a way that I definitely wasn't. And to me, I think at the time, my definition of success was very different from what it is now. And, you know, like, there was a good amount of disillusionment, but which at the time was hard to swallow, I think. But like, now I'm ever more grateful for the fact that like, it did provide me with the opportunity to like, I don't know, go inward and figure out what even am I making music for? Like, what is the message that I'm trying to say with it? And like, where does my joy in all of it lie? And like, finding, I think, my spirituality in nature, I guess, as like a driving force behind what we do now also, I think is something I would never have expected 10 years ago, and that I'm more grateful for than I could even put into words. Like, it's, I don't know.
I mean, and not to speak for you, but also just the fact that he's pursuing a project where he's playing guitar, not piano.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. He's a very, 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 I would like to say accomplished, but just like proficient and talented pianist. And in our duo, I'm playing piano and he plays guitar. And I think you only started learning guitar like 3 years ago or something. And it's really impressive how quickly and how far he's come. But I just also would imagine that 10 years ago, you didn't imagine that you'd be in a folk pop duo playing guitar.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world, where can they learn more about Lonely Parrots?
We're on social media, Lonely Parrots Music, Parrots Like the Bird. Yeah, Lonely Parrots Music. I mean,
Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah, and we are putting out our first song on Spotify and all the other streaming services on the 27th at 9 p.m. or 28th at midnight, basically, in a week. It'll be out, so they'll be able to find our music at that point and moving forward. But just to like keep tabs on when we're putting out more music and touring and stuff, the socials are going to be the best place to find us.
I mean, also, you know, if anybody out there hearing this, it is like, whoa, you know what? I'd love to have a house concert or like the backyard show. Hit us up, because I mean, surely that's the way they'll find out most about us if they hear us live and meet us in person.
And that is actually how we booked a handful of our shows for the last tour that we did. We like made this cute little reel, and you know, it says a little bit about who we are and what we're doing, and we got some people that were just like, yeah, we'd love to have you in our backyard. Yeah, come to New Mexico. Hey, come to New York. And so we'll see if we make it to Florida, because we have a few people that want us there. But it's just, yeah, it's been really, really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and talk to me about the music. I've enjoyed this so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Stick around for more of the Mixtape Lounge right after this.
minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription-only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber-generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katya J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
Hey Suge, I am the one and only Jennifer Bush Harris, known in other parts of the multiverse as What Jay Said. From the planet of TikTok comes What Jay Said, the podcast. Find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. I am a match struck and fire is at work.
Bands out of the UK right now, please welcome Billy from 2 Weeks in Nashville. Hello.
Hey there. Hey Greg, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So for the listeners who may not be familiar with you guys, what can they expect from 2 Weeks in Nashville?
They can expect a hell of a lot of energy. We're a three-piece indie rock band from the UK. Living together for the past 4 or 5 years now. There's three of us in the band, four of us live. And yeah, we just love performing live, love music, and want to get that energy across, get that out there from a live show.
Excellent. So you're from the UK. How did the name 2 Weeks in Nashville come about?
So we were lucky enough to go to Nashville when we first started back in end of 2018, beginning of 2019. And we went out there for 2 weeks, like in and out of studios, just to experience the place and what it had. We had a friend out there who put us up at his house and went to a local studio to record. It was just like the most amazing 2 weeks, like just opened our eyes to not only like the size of America, but the size of the world and how small we were in the UK. But everyone was just so friendly. And there was just this sense of like real positive energy and positive vibes. It was amazing. And met some incredible people, wrote some new music. And when we came back, we were like, right, we've really found our kind of sound and identity of what we want to stand for. Let's scrap what we had before and let's start fresh. and we were thinking of a name, and 2 weeks in Nashville just seems so obvious.
That's fantastic.
And we then found out that it abbreviates to twins. So that was like, it took us a couple of months to work that one out. That was perfect.
So of the music that you've recorded and written, do you have a favorite song?
That is a very difficult question to answer. It's funny because we've got a track called Overdose that's like our top listened to song, and I wasn't expecting that. It was like a song that was very close to my heart because it took a long time to write and a lot of persistence. But I didn't expect it to be as well received as it has been. So now it's not my favorite song because it's the one that everyone says. But I'm really enjoying Forget and Forgive off our latest album. It's just got, yeah, a lot of power, and the message, what it stands for, I don't know, it just comes across really well live. I think it's really fun for us to play. We're enjoying that one.
So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like that anybody with an internet connection can put out music. What sets 2 weeks in Nashville apart from everybody else?
I think that when you come to a show, like, we're all about performing live, and we just want that sense of like, you can leave any of your worries, any of your problems at the door and just enjoy like an hour and a half, or however long we're on for, of just good vibes, and just forget everything and live in the moment. And this is like what we're trying to kind of stand for, just like forget everything and just love each other and have a great time. And I think, yeah, positivity is something that stands us apart from the rest. A lot, when we first started, there was just, and still now, there's just so many people with like saying kind of depressing things, and I understand people are connecting to that, but I just really want to push this like positive feeling, positive emotion. And I suppose with us, you get this kind of family vibe, like we're all kind of like brothers. We've been living together, and that seems to, well, I hope comes across in our live show and across our socials. I think, yeah, our lyrics are about, like, I tend to write about my own experiences, but also people around me and my friends' experiences. So I feel like it will hopefully touch a lot of people, and hopefully everyone has something to relate to it with, even if it's not the same reason as I wrote it.
Since the band has come together, has the creative process changed at all?
I would say so, because like, obviously we've gone through a whole lockdown for 2 years as well. So that definitely changed our approach to songwriting. When we went to Nashville, we were very much like being experienced by everything going on around us and meeting new people and kind of coming up with new ways of approaching writing. We'd always just gone at it like in a rehearsal space, just the three of us. But then to introduce new people in Nashville was like kind of a breath of fresh air, and it was like, oh wow, there's loads of other techniques of writing. And then we started writing with other people and like friends and things since Nashville, and then over lockdown it went kind of back to just us again. But we'd kind of have like different pockets because we've been living together, but when someone fell ill, like with COVID or whatever, they would be isolated, and it would just be whoever was left to write amongst themselves, or like even one at a time. So I think it's definitely changed. And I enjoy writing with a lot of other people and writing other genres of music as well. I tend, like, if it's myself that's come up with the song, then I'll have like a rough demo, and I'll bring it into the guys and kind of present it, and then we'll jam it, and everyone will bring in their ideas to kind of finish it off. So it has been changing, but it's always good fun.
So bouncing off that, you write for other artists too, right?
Yes, yeah. So I run a studio here that we all live at, and record and write for other artists and other genres.
So when you, let's say that you've written this song, does 2 weeks in Nashville get first dibs on it? And then you're like, okay, if the band passes, you're like, well, let's see if somebody else wants it.
No, I tend to know who I'm writing it for. And if I think it's a band song, then I'll just put it in that bank. And then I just approach writing with other people, just completely fresh and completely separate from the kind of band part. I try not to mix them up too much. And I try not to give, like, I want every song to be as good as the other one. Otherwise I'd be saving us all the good ones. But yeah, I just think, like, I love rock music. I grew up on it. It's my kind of comfort spot, but it doesn't fulfill me. I need to be writing other music. I'd like to put different spins on, like, pop music and other styles of music as well, from my experience. Yeah.
Which Disney princess do you most relate to?
Wow. I don't think I've ever been asked that. I love this. This is great. I mean, I wouldn't say my Disney princess catalog is huge. So I'm going to go for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I think Snow White's great. I mean, I love snow. I love skiing. And that's how much I can relate to it. I see the dwarfs as Ian and Mark in the band. And myself on the front on stage very much. Yeah, I love that. And the dwarfs around me, the band, can do the heavy lifting.
That's a solid answer. I like that.
Mind being Snow White, no.
So if you could go back in time to the minute that you decided you were going to give this music thing a shot, would you do anything differently?
Gosh. I suppose been at the kind of forefront of whatever social media was coming up next, I would have, like, jumped on it early and got on there, because I feel like with, like, a lot of people as well, you just, like, think, oh, really? That's going to kind of take off and be the next thing. And then, yeah, sure enough, it is. So I'd have just, like, taken every opportunity on socials straight away. But yeah, I've definitely learned a lot since starting music, and it's been one hell of a ride. Yeah, I can't think of how I would have done something differently, but other than, like, yeah, social media, I think it's changed a lot.
What is the weirdest thing you've ever ordered from Amazon?
We actually, for a TikTok video, we had to order like 100 beach balls for a video.
Oh, wow.
We did this challenge of, like, how to write a song, or writing a song about an Amazon review. So I kind of was scanning through the Amazon reviews, and there was one about this beach ball, and this guy had written, like, an amazing story about a beach ball. And so I wrote a song about that. And for the video, for when we were filming it, just thought it'd be great to have a load of beach balls with us. So ordered that 100 beach balls. It took a long time to blow them all up. And I don't even think it was worth it, but yeah, it was good. And I can't say I've ordered any more beach balls since. So that's probably my weirdest one.
So you write music for the band, you write music for other people. How do you go about balancing artistic expression with commercial appeal when you're writing?
Yeah. It's difficult. For me, I just try not thinking too much about what other people are going to say and what the people will say when the song's released. You've got to kind of write it for, sounds like selfish, but you've got to write it for yourself first and foremost, because as soon as you start writing for someone else, it's you don't become as attached to it. And I feel like you can hear that in a song when you're singing something that doesn't mean anything to you. You can hear it in your voice. There's just something different about it. So I really try and just whoever I'm writing with, and if it's for myself, then yeah, it's just like, what emotion am I trying to get? And what am I trying to get out of the music? And then you just got to hope that people will like it. But I think as soon as you try and please the others before pleasing yourself, that's when you lose your own artistic expression, which is why you do it in the first place, and is what should set you apart from others. But yeah, it has been hard to kind of separate the two, because over the last few years when we're trying to, like, you can think too much about how it's going to go down online and after you put it out. But I keep coming back to, no, let's just stick to what we like and hope that people like it.
What would you say is the coolest thing about being a musician?
We have played some cool festivals over the last few years, and I would say getting like the access all area pass, like badge, is great, because you get to meet some amazing people and have amazing catering and drinks and then enjoy like a weekend festival, and you can bring plus ones. So it's perfect. The family can come, friends can come. It's just great. Is that that's probably the highlights of doing music and being in a band is, shows.
Is there a dream festival?
Oh, it's got to be, for us, it's got to be like Glastonbury. Headline Glastonbury. Like world renowned. It's just so big here now. It just sells out.
Yeah.
Like year in advance. It's crazy. Without any lineup being released. But yeah, that would be the one.
I want to intro the headliner to Glastonbury. That's like, that would be the peak for me. If I could do that, I don't even care who it is.
Do you play music?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So
who would you open up for? Who would you introduce?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, just to be at Glastonbury and get to intro anybody,
yeah,
I feel like would be cool as hell.
Well, when we play, you'll be introing us.
Oh yeah, I'm down. Let's make this happen.
Let's do it. Let's manifest.
So is there a secret to maintaining authenticity in what is very much a superficial and image-driven industry?
God, for us, I don't know, we're not exactly fashion icons. We just stick to like a lot of the stuff we love and wear are like handed down from my grandparents. A lot of our outfits that we wear in our photo shoots, we've just stuck to like what we think is fun and good to do, which doesn't apply to everyone, but yeah, we try and not kind of, I don't know, follow the trend and follow the crowd. I don't know, we're just for me, like when we play live, like we've always said, like we've got to look different and put on a show. So we try and like, we'll dress up for the show to entertain. But yeah, we try not to get too wrapped up in it. We've got to feel comfortable and be ourselves.
What's the best Star Wars film?
You'll probably hate me, but I honestly haven't watched any Star Wars.
Completely fair. Completely fair.
Yeah, it's never floated my boat, but I get the obsession with it. I would say the originals, just from speaking to friends that have watched Star Wars and the series, I would say the earlier films would be a safe bet for me. Do you have a favorite?
It's probably Empire Strikes Back.
See, I wouldn't know where
it's one of the originals.
Okay,
it's the second film.
There we go. Yeah, I've heard good things about the second one. I have.
How do you define success?
It's got to be happiness. If you're happy, that's success to me. You could be doing anything, but as long as you're happy at the end of the day and feel like you've achieved something that's made you happy, that's great. That is success.
Which 2 weeks in Nashville song do you feel like deserves a Grammy?
Wow. It feels awful to answer this question. I want to pick one that I haven't written really. Probably something that we haven't released yet. What we have released. Oh, there's a song called Upside Down on our first album, and it's like a very acoustic and quite an intimate track. And I feel like that one's been underrated. and like we wrote that as kind of a collective with a couple of other friends as well. So that would be a nice moment if that song got a Grammy. I think that would be a cool moment with us and our friends.
Now, you've mentioned that the band lives together.
Yeah.
With that, how do you go about maintaining a healthy work-life balance?
Yeah, spend as little time as possible with each other. Come to learn. Keep it strictly just to rehearsals only, and we're fine. it's difficult. The other two guys, like in the day, have been like in the drummer has been playing drums for other artists, and Mark, the guitarist, has been working in a special needs school near us. So, and I'm running the studio here. We kind of keep ourselves busy in the day, and then the evenings we have together. Like tonight, we're going out for dinner to a jazz festival near us, just to check out some jazz music. We have nice moments where we spend time with each other. We're not bored of each other yet. it's just keeping that healthy balance and changing stuff up. Like, we might be rehearsing 1 week, and then we do two rehearsals a week, and then we'll decide to do some writing another week, and then we'll do some recording and some filming. So we just try and keep it interesting. And then we're playing a show. So it's, everything's moving, and everything's happy families at the moment. I have to say Mark's been pretty good having him on board, because Mark, the guitarist, is half French, half Italian. So his sense of cuisine and cooking is just out of this world. We've been gifted in that sense.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that you feel like would be well suited for like a Marvel or a superhero film?
Oh, cool. Definitely. I think off the top of my head, maybe a song called Pipe Dreams. I feel like that's got like the chorus of that, the lyrics. I don't want to go around chasing shadows, driving myself crazy with pipe dreams. I feel like that's, I don't know, could be cool as a superhero, for a superhero character, for a superhero film. Yeah. Sense of dream. Yeah, I don't know.
So if anybody from Disney or Marvel happens to hear this show and you're looking for a song, we've got you. We've got you covered.
Yeah, we've got you. Or like a song called Best Thing I Ever Had. That could be cool. That could be like a moment. It's the best thing ever, being a superhero, right?
Yeah.
That's probably even more suited.
Do you consider yourself an artist or an entertainer?
Gosh. They go hand in hand. We want to entertain in our shows. I would think live, we're definitely like we're there for to put on a yeah put on a performance, but musically we are artists. We create art. That's a really tough question. Haven't really separated the two before.
Okay.
But yeah, I would. Oh, that's really hard. Do I have to have like a particular answer? Can
no.
I?
No, not so at all.
Is Mark calling me now? I need to. And my phone is on Do Not Disturb, but somehow he's still getting through. That guy. I thought he'd have had enough with it. Yeah, sorry. I think I honestly don't think I could pick, but an artist for writing and entertainment for performing.
Excellent answer. Is there a song that changed your life?
Yeah, there is. I must have been like three years old when a song called "I Gonna Be My Girl" came out by an Australian band called Jet. And I just remember being in the back of my parents' car, and I think I was like learning to count at the time. And the verse is like starts with 1, 2, 3, 4, and so I was just like taken. And the guitar riff, it just got me. And that's sort of like from then on, I was just like, right, rock music is the only thing I love. And didn't like anything else. Now it's very different, but that song really was a game changer.
I love that song. That song still goes hard.
Yeah, you like that song?
That's I love cool. that song. That was
yeah, that tour. Yeah.
Yeah, that was that era, you know, we had Jet, we had Phantom Planet, and there was a lot of really cool stuff happening in rock music at that time.
Yeah, so like it was really cool. I think like it was like an Apple advert that blew that song up.
Yeah.
And they're touring again now. They had like a 10-year hiatus. And as soon as they got back together on the last tour, which was like 4 or 5 years ago now, I went booked my ticket straight away. They're awesome. But and I need to go and see them again. They're great.
Are you the musician that you thought you'd be when you started out?
Wow. I'm probably nowhere near as good as I should be. The amount of hours I've put into it, it's been like spread over multiple things. If I'd have just stuck to playing guitar, I probably thought I would be better at guitar than I am now. and I'm always like saving videos of like, oh, I should really learn that. And then just never find that time to put into learning and practicing. But yeah, maybe I should be much better than I am.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on the music of 2 Weeks in Nashville.
Yes, they can find us online. We've got a website, 2weeksinnashville.com. But we're on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Deezer, on YouTube as well. Yeah, just 2 Weeks in Nashville or Twin, TWIN. And you can find our music. We've just put out a new album about a month ago called Stickman Rock. So you can go and dive into that.
And where can they find you on social media?
Social media again, just 2 weeks in Nashville, like at 2 weeks in Nashville, on every platform. We're pretty active and gigging a lot this summer, so you'll see us popping up.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and the band and the music. I have enjoyed this a whole lot.
Thanks so much, Greg. I really appreciate it.
You're the best thing that I ever had.
The Mixtape Lounge is a Your Life. The Mixtape Media, LLC production in association with Rod Wharton Productions. all rights and trademarks reserved.